mirror, and you see this mirror, and you see this queen that's up here, what story does that make us think of? Snow White. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. In case any of you haven't studied the story of Snow White recently, let me give you a little background what's going on. We have this queen. She has this mirror. And within the mirror, there is this slave that is obligated to tell her the truth when she asks a question. And this queen, there was one question she liked to ask, and she asked it a lot. Who is the fairest one of them all? And she liked to ask this question because the mirror always gave her the same answer. You, queen, are the most beautiful that there is. She liked to ask this question. She liked to be told she was the best. But one day, the mirror gave her some different truth, told her actually that there was one that was kinder, that was gentler than she was. And if you remember her response, it was jealousy and anger. Well, that's the point of James's letter this morning, because the early Jewish Christians who were there, they struggled with this issue of jealousy. If any of you have studied Acts, and my high schoolers are sick of hearing me use the word jealousy, because we just keep seeing it from the Jewish people towards the Gentiles in this day. And that really is the point of his message today. I'm hopeful that the story of Snow White, as we work through it a little bit later, will help us in understanding the message. So let's read the Word of God first, and then we will pray and get into it. Here's what he is writing in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of good mercy or full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this caution that James gave to the early Jewish Christians and that he gives to us today. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us this morning. Allow your word to be proclaimed truthfully. Guide my nerves. Allow me to present the word as you have put it on my heart this morning. Allow those who are here this morning to hear your message with open hearts and open ears. Father, that through this process, we may grow in our relationship with you and bring glory to your name, to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, there are three questions that we have to come to the mirror, our own mirror, and ask ourselves. And that's really what James is asking us to do here this morning. There are questions we have to ask of ourselves. Do I have an issue of jealousy and selfishness? Do we? If we do, in what way are we jealous and selfish? That really is a question that I can't provide you the answer on. That truly is one that you have to investigate yourself and see your own issue, if you have it, and what it is. The third one is, what do we do about it? Well, the beauty is, James gives us a verse this morning that I just love, and I've appreciated studying it very much. It is the answer to this question if we are struggling with this issue, and we'll get into that. Well, let's take a look first at what our verses say. In 13, let's analyze this a little bit. He's asking this question, who's wise and understanding? And he first identifies good conduct and showing it by your works. Well, this is the same message. This is nothing new that James has given us thus far. He's been telling us as he's been moving along that we're supposed to be, as Brian said, doers and not just hearers of God's word. That we are supposed to have an active faith, and one that is without works, he said, is actually dead. So this idea of good conduct is nothing new from James. It's this last section that he's going to focus in on today in terms of what he's saying, this meekness of wisdom. Understanding this word meekness in Greek, it means power, under control. And what James is really driving at here is you can run around and do all kinds of good stuff and do all these things, but really the question is, What's going on in your heart? What is your heart attitude and the actions that you're taking? And that's where he's really focusing on this idea of meekness, of wisdom. He wants to check in on our hearts and see where we're at. And so he expands on this then in the next verse, verse 14. He's looking at it saying, but if you're running around doing all this other stuff, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, where? In your hearts. He says, don't boast and be false to the truth. Check yourself. Don't be acting like you're good when in reality your heart is not right. God knows our hearts. We know our hearts. We know where we're at, where our struggle is. Now, I love who God chose to write about jealousy to the early Christians and to us. I just love who he chose because, in my opinion, I can't think of somebody better who could understand the idea of jealousy than James, the younger brother of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you have a brother or sister out there, okay, don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about a couple questions. If you've got a brother or sister, have you ever thought to yourself, my mom or dad really like my brother better than they like me? I got a brother or sister, they get along, do all kinds of different things. Mom and dad treat them better. I do the smallest of thing, and I'm in deep trouble. And my brother, I see shaking heads, I love it. Well, if you think you got it bad, consider the life of James. James was the younger brother of the Lord Jesus, the second son born to Mary. Jesus never left for his public ministry until he was 30 years old. I don't know how long that meant James was around him, but think of the life that James had. His older brother never sinned. He was perfect. He always obeyed his parents. Always took out the trash and didn't complain. He was a perfect older brother. I mean, imagine how many times James probably had to hear the phrase, why can't you be like your older brother? I mean, that's the life that James grew up in. Now, church, I want to be very clear here. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that James is a jealous person, okay? It's not in scripture. But if you look at how he lived his life, couldn't you kind of see how maybe he had an issue? I can. And it may be an explanation for the life that James lived while Christ was walking the earth. Did you know that James, while his brother was in his public ministry, never was a follower? He never believed. Despite all the miracles, despite the love, despite the healings, James never was a follower of his brother during that time. He may have been one of those brothers who looked at him when he was doing all these miracles and say, that guy's crazy. He's out of his mind. And we do know that James, at the time that he was most needed by his mother and by his brother, when Christ was dying on the cross, James wasn't there. At a time in which he would have taken on the responsibility as a second son to care for his mom, he wasn't there. That duty went to John, if you'll remember the scriptures. Now, this issue of jealousy didn't begin with James, okay? It all started in the garden. If we go back and we look at Adam and Eve, I mean, they were tempted by the devil with this idea of becoming like God. They desired that wisdom. That's what they wanted. It began there. And for us, church, as we grew up in our very early ages, infants and toddlers, is no different from us. You don't believe me? Ask any mom what happens when the second child is born. The sibling rivalry, this desire for attention. I mean, this, you're laughing because it's true. And we see it. In fact, I had an interesting conversation with a young mother a while back here in the church, and I'd ask her, can you tell me a story, you know, maybe where this issue's come up with your kids? And here's what she says. I love this story. She says, I was sitting there just reading a book with one of my kids. The other one sees it, comes walking up, grabs a book, and just throws it on the floor. I mean, it's the idea of wanting that attention and desire. It's there from the very beginning in church. It's there. It's in us. It's in us. And maybe you're struggling with it right now. I don't know. But the question, really, do we have an issue with jealousy? The answer is yes, selfishness. We do. At different times, it's something different. So the question doesn't become, do we have an issue? The question is, what is our issue? Do we have one now? For me, growing up, I was in a pretty jacked up family. My desire always, as I looked around, I'd see a mom and a dad and kids and the fence and the house and the dog and all the stuff. And that was my issue growing up. And sadly, it's something that's been carried on as I've moved on in life. That's my issue. I don't know about what you and your issue of jealousy or selfishness is, but that's why we got to come to the mirror. And we've got to ask ourselves. That's why James uses the words, if you're doing this stuff, don't boast and be false to the truth. Check yourselves. Now, I want to do something a little different. Don't get upset at me. I'm actually going to skip a verse here, but I'll come back to 15. I want to look at verse 16 for a major reason first, because it is the result of living a life of jealousy and selfishness. In verse 16, James draws the connection between those ones who have this issue and what happens. Here's what he says. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there'll be disorder in every vile practice. There's chaos. There's all kinds of bad stuff that's happening. It doesn't take a whole lot to look out into the world today and see this. If you're a sports fan, I mean, this issue with the Astros and their cheating thing, this is it. We've seen, even in our valley locally this year, some horrible events from families and choices that have been made with this struggle. Really sad stuff that goes on. And we can see the horrible things that can happen in our own lives, in our own families, in our friendships when this issue exists. But to help us understand this a little bit more, I want to bring it back to our friend, the queen, and Snow White. If you'll remember the story where we left off, the queen, you know, she had constantly been told she's beautiful, she's beautiful, she's beautiful, and all of a sudden, yeah, there's one kinder and gentler than you. Her issue was jealousy. She was angry. And so what does she start to think about to do next? Well, her first plot, actually, was this beautiful creature that we see, Snow White, up on the screen. Her stepdaughter, by the way. Think about that for a second. Her first thought was, get her out in the woods, get some huntsmen, get out there, take care of business, and kill her. That was the original plan. Well, that didn't work out. So the next plan was the queen, who the truth was told she was the most beautiful in the land for long periods of time. She takes this magic potion. And she becomes this ugly witch that you see on the screen right now. She's willing to do whatever it takes in order to resolve this issue that she has. So she becomes this ugly witch that you see on the screen so that she could get face to face with Snow White, hand her this poisonous apple that she would eat of it, and she would die. Disorder in every vile practice. It's the extent to which we're willing to go if we don't check it. Well, now that we know that the issue exists, now that we know the result and what can come from it, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, well, where does it come from? Why is it here? And James answers that question for us in verse 15. So pardon me for backing up one verse, but in verse 15, he gives us the explanation of why. He says, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above. So jealousy and selfishness, it's not the wisdom that comes from God. Instead, where does it come from? He says it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. These first two, earthly, unspiritual, it doesn't take a whole lot to look out into our world today and look, what's the wisdom that's being sold? I mean, pull out your iPhone and take yourself a selfie or a slofie, whatever the heck that is. I don't understand that. But it's the sale that's being given to us. You know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, I gotta tell you, I mean, it just props up this perfect lifestyle that everybody sees, and they're out there working to try and get it. I mean, right, as young mothers, you probably see this when people are putting out stuff, you know, like my kid was walking at 3 weeks old or whatever. I mean, it's this expansion that's trying to talk about how great everyone is. It's what the world sells. But it's this third one, church, that I want to focus in on, because this third one, demonic, is really the beginning starting point and the continued direction that it comes from today. We pointed out earlier that this issue had existed back in the garden with Satan when he was tempting Adam and Eve. Well, Satan is still there trying to push this ideal. And he is still today using the demonic forces to come after us today. It's still happening. It's a scary thought when you think about it. And for me, it's kind of hard to picture. But I thought about a movie scene when I saw a movie, one of my favorite movies, when I was 10 years old. It was Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. And this scene happened. If you've seen Star Wars before, this is an iconic scene. This was the face that I sort of associated with Satan when I was a 10-year-old. Right? I mean, like, look at that. Ugly, just smirky. And if you know the story of Star Wars, this guy is the Emperor. He is Satan. He is the force of evil. And he is watching on as a battle takes place. The battle is taking place between his student, his apprentice, a guy named Darth Vader. And they're fighting with lightsabers, and he's fighting against his own son, a guy named Luke Skywalker, the force, the face of good. Right? He had the force with him. He was all goodness. And there was this fight that was going on, and here is the Emperor looking on. This is sort of how I picture this idea of Satan and the demonic forces today. Looking on, watching this, saying these words, let the hate flow through you. Let the jealousy, let the anger, let the selfishness. He is cheering on because he wants Luke Skywalker, the force of good, to be turned from good to evil. That's his job. And church, today, this is the smile that's on his face as he watches the evil that goes on around us, as he sees the choices that we are making. But let me tell you something. There is no greater ugly smirk on his face than we as the church let jealousy and selfishness take over us. I'm sad Jonah Goff's not here because he actually thought of a phrase for this that I'm going to give him credit anyways. He said, this seems like Satan is trying to sabotage the church. It was a wonderful idea. Satan wants us as believers to preach Christ, but in our actions show something different, a horrible witness that we give to the world. And that's what Satan is cheering for us to do. Now, if you're still awake, if you're still with me, I haven't lost you on movie quotes, look at somebody sitting next to you and say, well, what do we do? What do we do? I'm glad you asked the question. I'm glad you asked the question. Okay, 60% of you are still awake. I appreciate it. What do we do? What do we do when Satan is tempting us with these ideas? What do we do? How do we deal with it? Well, church, if there's one thing I want you to get out of this sermon, it is this. Verse 17 is an amazing verse. And verse 17 is the verse that helps us to fight jealousy, fight selfishness in our own lives. And I want you to remember that today. It's a wonderful verse. Let's work through it. Verse 17, he starts out, but the wisdom from above is first pure. The wisdom that comes from God is first pure. That means the starting point. First means the starting point. It's where we got to go first. We got to start there. So what is this thing? What is this wisdom that we start with? How do we begin to fight? Well, pure, church, is not a thing. Pure is the Lord Jesus. He's the beginning point of where we have to go if we're fighting with this issue. Now, you may wonder yourself, well, how do you know that that's what James is talking about? Well, there's two reasons I know. One, other sections of Scripture support this, that Christ is that wisdom that comes from God. We'll look at that in a second. But the other reason that we know is we see the changed life of James. As we go back to him for a second and we think about his life, remember, he wasn't a follower of his brother. He may have been the one who called his brother crazy at what he was doing. He definitely wasn't there at the cross in order to be there for his mom and for his brother. So what takes a person from that point to becoming what James became? Really a key in the early church. If you haven't studied him recently and what he did, in fact, he was the head of the Jerusalem Council deciding probably the most important question in Christianity. Is it faith or is it works? How does a person go from not following, not believing, to becoming that really important person? And the answer, if we search the scriptures, is that James had a face-to-face interaction with the resurrected Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we learn that he appeared to his brother. And church, it changed James's life for forever. He became something completely different than he was. Well, the second reason I know that this first thing that we have to come to, this first area we have to start, is also the scriptures, as I said. And Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, wrote these beautiful verses. This whole section in chapter 1 really is all about wisdom, folly. It's awesome. But he brings out this really important point. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who, pay attention now, became to us wisdom from God. Christ is the wisdom that is sent down for us. He is the starting point. So where we are struggling with jealousy and selfishness, we have to come first to him. Well, some of you may be thinking to yourself, well, James, I've already accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm already right with the Lord that way. I say that that's excellent. You are right with the Lord. But has that solved completely our issue of jealousy and selfishness? It certainly didn't for the Jewish Christians, did it? I mean, they were believers, and yet James is telling them about this issue they have. So it hasn't solved it completely. So what do we do? What is my point here out of verse 17? First, we have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand who he is. Get our minds focused there. Study the scriptures in order to fight selfishness and jealousy. Praise God for what he's done through his son. Raise our hallelujah for who Christ is. That's the beginning point. And church, if we do that, how can we not be humbled? How can we not just think of who he is and what he did and say, I'm wrong? Well, James doesn't stop there. He continues on in this verse, verse 17, saying, first, we got to start with Christ. Then, so that means the second step. We got to start with Christ. And then he gives us this checklist. This checklist of our characteristics, our behaviors, our actions. And we need to walk through them while we're struggling with this issue. How are we in our being peaceable? So this first one, are we peace-loving? Are we peace-promoting? Are we kind of person who likes to argue all the time? Maybe in our disagreements, we're the one who always has to get our last word in. Second one, are we gentle? Are we patient with people? Are we understanding in their circumstances and the challenges that are going on? Third, are we open to reason? Are we willing to listen? Are we willing to learn? Are we the kind of people that go, nah, I'm not buying that. I'm out. Not listening anymore. Next, full of mercy and good fruits. Are we understanding in people and their circumstances, forgiving, loving, or are we judgmental? Are we impartial? Josh gave a whole sermon on this not long ago about the idea of partiality and impartial, not treating the rich better than the poor. And the last one is sincere. Are we fake or are we real? Now, the beauty is if you study these verses and look at them and all these characteristics, you know the one person that had all this stuff? He's the beginning point. It's Christ again. I mean, if we study these verses, we can definitely see him in all of these things. Now, if you think like I did the first time I read these, I looked at this, I'm like, yeah, I probably get about, what, one half of those done most of the time? One half out of like seven? Not very good. If some of you look at this and seeing, hey, this is a daunting task. How do I do all of this stuff? I got a beautiful reminder for you that James has already taught us in our study. Gene covered this verse back in chapter 1. And it's a promise from God that relates to this wisdom. Listen to what it says. You don't have to turn there. I will read it for you. If you need help with these verses, listen to these words. If any of you lacks wisdom. Well, what kind of wisdom? What are we talking about? Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about this. This is what James is talking about. If any of us lacks this wisdom, here's what he says. Listen to this. Let him ask God. How do we do that? Well, come in prayer. Ask God for these things. Ask him to help us with first and then. Here's the promise now. We lack it. We ask him, the one who gives generously, and it will be given him. I don't know about you, but that's a promise to me. I see that as a promise, that if we are seeking this wisdom, that God will provide it. I know that it's a promise because not only does it say it, but second, if we look at the result that's going to come from it in verse 18, you will understand why God wants us to have this wisdom. This is what he wants for us. So what does he say in verse 18? And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. He's saying essentially that the one person who acts this way, by acting the way that is described in verse 17, here's what can happen from it. A harvest of righteousness. A harvest, not one apple, a whole bunch. Righteousness. Well, what righteousness? God's righteousness. God's glory. God's grace. It can be on display and it can grow by the person who acts this way. Now, as I was working through this verse and trying to understand it and how to explain it, I got brought back to another movie. So it's apparently movie day here at Titan Drive. One of my favorite movies, and I actually watched it again last night because I enjoy it. It's called The Power of One. It is an excellent movie based on a book. And it's a story about a young man who's growing up in South Africa during apartheid, and he just sees the horrible stuff that's going on around him. And he gets placed on his heart that what he can do is by helping these people, he can teach them how to read. And so his idea is to teach them how to read so that they can begin to see freedom. And as he lays out the story, he's a high school student, as he lays it out to one of his teachers, the teacher said, well, what good's it going to do? Teach a few people. And here's his answer. And I think it's the point of what James is trying to say. He said, a waterfall starts but with one drop. And look what becomes of that. A waterfall starts but with one drop, and look what can come from that. This is James's point. The one person who acts this way described in verse 17, it's that one drop. And it builds with other believers, with other actions. It builds and can become this waterfall of God's righteousness. This is what he wants for us, church. He wants us to act out verse 17 so that this beauty, this beautiful waterfall of his righteousness is continuing and continuing. But church, to get to this point, we have to start with our three questions. We got to come to the mirror and ask ourselves, do we have an issue? Second, what is our issue? And we have to analyze our own lives and see it. Be honest. Don't be boasting and be false to the truth. Check yourself. And then the third question, what do we do about it? And God, through James's letter, has given us the answer here, right? I mean, verse 17 is the answer. Come to it. It's first Christ. Then it's these other things. And church, if we can act this way, if we can live this out in our lives, this is the result. And this is what God calls us to do. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word and how James had a great concern for the Jewish Christians of his time, that he recognized their issue of jealousy. Though being believers, Father, he called them to check their hearts. And Lord, your scripture is very clear. You are calling us to do the same thing this morning. Help each one of us, Lord, to come to the mirror, to think, what is our own issue? Where are we struggling? And Father, you have promised us that if we are struggling with this issue, we can look to your verse 17. Look to the wisdom that is there. Look to the characteristics required of us. And if we are lacking, Father, you have made us a promise that if we ask you in prayer, you will provide. Father, we trust in that. Help us now, Lord, as we think about the words that have been shared here this morning. Help us grow in our relationship with you and with each other. And help us, Father, that we may become this beautiful waterfall of your righteousness. Lord, we ask this to your glory and to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.